still a refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake?
Sounds nice. Great. All right, cool. Showed me part. Yeah, no, that is nice. We should try and do that. Yeah. What is it? A cap? My people's. Could be.
All right.
Let's see some. Is this a good key? So, if you sing. Version of it? Is that right? Seriously. Doing the key change?
We can.
No, no, it's okay. Is that a good key? So, like, the whole thing? Because maybe I could change it.
I chose this key for, like, because I thought it was going to be I didn't
notice
the key change.
It's all good. No, it's all good. I'm just trying to think if D would be better. Like, was that too high for you? The
it's verse? A little bit high. So go to the like the.
Yeah, yeah. What's the high part?
So that third line.
Okay, so that is pretty high.
All my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light.
I guess it doesn't matter.
Okay,
so one up. I think C should be fine. I just don't like the chords that they chose. No worries. I'm gonna try something. So, yeah, that one I don't like. Verse was that, by the way?
First one.
Okay, let's try the whole thing one more time. So, are we doing just verse one, verse two, verse three on this?
I think that's what. Well, I have another verse. I put verse four in there, but we had to take it out.
We can keep it.
It's, you know what? It's actually not. It's rich as I heat not. It's like a. It doesn't need to be in there. It's the most disposable.
So I'll do something like that. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we can just go right in. Yeah. I'm going to change this chord.
Waking
then I'll do like a tag. So, what is that? Just like in between, is that cool? So we go.
My presence, my
you when
okay.
I do.
So heart of my own heart whatever before still be my vision.
So yeah, what do you want to do there? Okay, like hold that thing. Okay, I like that. Yeah, yeah. So, sorry, I'm just using the first verse only because this one changes key. So, like, I'm starting to see the words. So, can we try that then? Let's do the third to last, or the third line.
Okay.
So.
Heart of my own heart, whatever be.
Figured out. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to write some chords because I have better ones than these, and it'll definitely help. But I'll do it once. What time is it? We got still time.
Okay.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So let's run. Let me do like one thing.
Take your time. Okay. Let me go throw this stuff away.
Is that right, the presence one? This?
Presence one.
So waking or sleeping, my presence. Yeah, okay. Okay, I like those chords better. So let's try this then. Do you mind if we do it one more time?
No.
This is the one that needs the most practice. So.
Not be all lost to me.
Well, this past month, particularly the last 4 or 5 weeks, we've been reflecting on the subject of the heart, not the muscle inside of our physical chest, but rather, as we know, the kind of the core center of who we are, what we describe as that heart. And our theme we've run with is the well heart. And our verse from Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So our hearts are like wells, receptacles or containers. They hold things. And also we need well hearts. We need healthy hearts. Jesus himself said, it's out of the abundance of our heart that our mouths speak, or out of the heart comes. Referring back to my famous drawing from a couple weeks ago, this is the anatomy, I guess you could say, scripturally, about how the heart works. And again, as you read scripture, you come to realize that the things that we hear with our ears, those messages, those thoughts, those go down through our ears and into the receptacle of our heart. Or the things that we see, the things that we experience in life, they come through the portal of our eyes and down into our heart. And that becomes the receptacle, the well, the container. And it's out of that and the abundance of that that we speak, that we act, that we kind of live our life. And that's kind of what it says there. For everything you do flows from it. So what is heard is stored there. What is experienced is stored there. It's the place of all good and evil. Jesus said our heart is compared to like a soil. So it's the field where seeds are planted. So it becomes the birthplace of thoughts and words. It's so important. And then also we realized too, as we looked, is that our hearts are restless by nature. Just like the beach ball. You take a beach ball and you try to hold it down under the water and it becomes very restless because the beach ball does not want to be under the water. It wants to be out of the water, and it will do everything it can to keep pushing and pushing to get itself out of the water because it wants to float. Likewise, our heart drives our existence. And just like the beach ball wants to be floating, our heart is always in motion. It wants emotion for what it wants or what it desires. And it's just constantly pushing towards that. And so because of that, it needs to be constantly calibrated. And knowing what our hearts are like and what they're capable of, we can say that our hearts are in need of transformation. But then only God can do that. God can give a new heart, and that's spoken of oftentimes in Scripture. He can cleanse our hearts, he can purify our hearts, and he can change its course, he can change its desires. And so we come to realize that our hearts need healing, because our hearts can be broken, and hearts need to be healed. They can be wounded. So God shows himself to us in Scripture as a heart healer. So the passage for this morning is Psalm 147:3, where it says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. God's concerned about hearts that are discouraged, that are broken, that are wounded from battle. And I think we realize that every day we're in kind of a battle in this world. And so the language is throughout Scripture. In Psalm 23, it talks about the Good Shepherd. He restores our soul. In that passage in Psalms, he heals the brokenhearted. Jeremiah prayed, heal me, O Lord. So again, back to our pictures. In that first picture, again, the idea is all this stuff that comes into us, the things that we hear, the things that we see, the things we experience, just become held there in that receptacle, that container of our heart. We're exposed to so much in life. It can wound us. It can break us. But also it can bring healing and stuff too, depending on what we're bringing in. But here's oftentimes, just because of our sinful nature, the next picture kind of explains to us kind of how we oftentimes go through life. So in this one, there we are over on that side. It seems like by nature, it's almost like we just want to protect our hearts. We don't, you know, we want to reveal our hearts. We don't want to make them known sometimes. We hide behind that. But what we're really good at is looking at other people's hearts. We can judge other people's hearts. That comes by naturally. We can judge other people's hearts. We can kind of read their hearts. We know what that is. And then maybe by doing that, we can justify what's going on in our own heart. Or it can prompt us to do different things. But we're really good at that. And it seems like by nature, that's what we just kind of end up doing. But that's not the ideal. That's not what God wants us to do. Picture number three is exactly kind of where God wants us to be. David wrote in Psalm 139, 23 and 24, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That's his humble plea as he comes before God and says, "God, do this." It's interesting, the statement, "Search me, O God." Not like that other image where, search that person's heart, something's not going right in there. But rather, search me. I come before you, Heavenly Father, and I'm inviting you in. We acknowledge that God has made our heart. We invite him in. Shine your light in my heart. And if you can only imagine how vulnerable we become with that, if we say, God, I want you to reveal and make known to me really, truly what's in my heart. My attitudes, my motives, my intention, what's going on in there? Help me to know. Why? David wanted to be on the way that leads to everlasting life. If there's anything going on in here that's stopping that from happening or blocking that from happening or not making that happen in the right way, please let me know. Can you understand how vulnerable that makes us before God? But review what's going on. And my guess is a lot of what may be exposed is just brokenness. Things that we've heard over and over and over in life, things that we've seen, things that we've experienced, it has a way of taking a toll. It can wear us down. We can only hear and experience so much stuff that we would consider negative. It just has a way of wearing us. But yet at the same time, we're asking God, give me ears to hear. I need to hear what you want to say to me. Help me to have eyes to see what you want me to see. Because if we're caring for our hearts, if we're concerned about where our hearts are at, that's the first blow against the enemy's schemes, because the enemy wants to destroy our hearts. He totally wants our hearts to be wooed away and elsewhere, and definitely not fixed and focused and concerned with God. So if our heart is weak and vulnerable, how effective are we at fending off the things that come our way? So we examine ourselves. Jesus talked a lot about, in one particular parable, about the cares of this world. It's like all the thorns and all things around it just kind of chokes things out. Because all the cares of the world can cause us to lose focus and get distracted, start going off down the wrong path. So, we need to get rid of them. The enemy would say, burn them out. Anything you can do to get that person to get burned out or wear them down, choke the life out of them, the better. Again, let's get the heart away from where ultimately God would want their heart to be. Maybe we come to realize that we have turned to other things. So we're called to confess and renounce those things. Just name them for what they are. And John writes in his letter, if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He says, confess it, acknowledge it, own up to it, call it what it is. And if we bring that before God and say, God, this is just not the way it's supposed to be, and seek his forgiveness, he's faithful and just. He will do that and cleanse us. Or forgive me for ways that I've handled brokenness, the things maybe that I've turned to. Because it's a spiritual fight. Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says this. He says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. You see, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought and make it obedient to Christ. If you remember that drawing, again, in comes those messages, in through our ears, in through our eyes. And if we look at those things, we get a hold of them and say, all right, is this truth? Is this what God would want us to have? Is this of God or Scripture? If not, we get rid of it. We don't let it collect in the receptacle of our heart. Rather, we make it become obedient to Christ, and we go for the truth. And if we recognize something, and understand for what it is, we resist it. We ask it to flee. James says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You cast it out, you denounce it, you send it away. Turn from the wrong things. And then say, God, again, heal my heart. You know where my heart's been broken, what's it experienced. Bind it up, set it free. Help me to experience what you've called me to be a part of. John also writes why Jesus came. He says the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And what's the devil's work? Again, as it says in one place, to lead the whole world astray. I think that really means to get our hearts on other things and to other things and all caught up and stuff, so your heart can't be on God. As we kind of wrap all this up, I think the question for all of us is, individually this morning, is what does my heart need? And we would all probably answer that a little differently, but we all can say, all right, God, what does my heart need today or going forward? And what do you have for my heart? So when Jesus is talking about himself as being the good shepherd in John chapter 10, he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. God wants us to experience life. So what does God want to speak into me today? If truly the words that we hear come in through our ears and then down into the receptacle of our heart, what does God want us to hear from him about who we are and what he has done for us and his love for us and his forgiveness and his grace, his mercy, all his promises? What does he want us to hear and get a hold of that becomes the abundant thing in our heart? What seed does what God want to plant in the soil of my heart today so that could germinate and then bear fruit through my life? See, God wants to plant seeds in our heart. He wants to put words into our hearts. Because if it's out of the mouth, out of the abundance of our heart that these things come, what does he want us to know for our own selves, our own lives, for our own benefit, and also for the benefit of other people, particularly when it comes to the fruit? We have to guard our hearts, understand what's going on here. Why? It's for the sake of our relationship with God, obviously. And again, how that plays out as we connect with and relate to the people around us in this world. God wants good words, good thoughts, good things to be planted in our hearts. And I pray that that would happen as we leave from here today, that we would seek God and his words and the seeds he wants us to have. As we seek God with all of our heart and love and know what he's done for us. It's some very good stuff he's done for us, and we thank him for it. And may God put in your heart today what you need most. So the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus.